Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are going to keep sane when a lot of things are going on in the markets, and thought I'd just talk about some proven investment fundamentals to kind of start the show off that, you know, especially when, you know, I remember back in 2020 when the pandemic happened and we saw a big decline in the market and, you know, everybody's losing their mind and we didn't know what was going to happen. But, you know, it goes back to the fundamentals, and the fundamentals are you manage your risk and you don't listen to the noise and you have a plan, all that kind of stuff. So I thought I would start out with some proven investment fundamentals. And the first one is dollar cost averaging. So let's talk about that. What is dollar cost averaging? You know, I've kind of had a way of doing things. I've been doing investment advisory for 40 years and got my securities license in 1985. And it was the first time I got really exposed to that kind of stuff. And then in 1987, we had the stock market crash. And when that happened, fortunately for my investors, nobody had invested with me to speak of. It was not that big a deal. And on top of that, it was, you know, one of those things that I had younger people, you know, because most people, when they get started, they get a young, if you're young in the business, you usually are with younger people. And I read different articles that said, hey, just stay in there and it's going to be okay. And the market had crashed at 2000. So that kind of tells you where things have gone since then. And so one of my goals early on was I would work with clients and I would tell them, let's just get on an automated plan and pull it out of your checking account every month. And I started out with a $50 a month mutual fund and put it in a growth fund, and it drafted my checking account every month. And I remember I'd get my statements back then, they mailed them, and I'd look at how much money I'd saved. And then as my income went up, I would pick the phone up and call back then the fund and say, hey, can you move it to $100 a month? And then I would do the same thing with my clients. And over a period of time, I figured out that dollar cost averaging, which is a method of buying, putting equal amounts of money across markets. And so when you're investing through what's called dollar cost averaging, you do that in your 401k, you're putting an equal dollar across. But when the market goes down, you're buying at a discount. You're getting more shares at a lower price, and you're buying less shares at a higher price with the idea that you get a lower cost per share. So what happens is then you're trying to accumulate shares. So dollar cost averaging was the key to, you know, me getting started. And I had at one time, I don't know what the numbers are now, over 11,000 different clients that were putting money in monthly through my organization. And you think about that. So every time the market dipped, they're buying at a discount automatically. I didn't have to call them and tell them that. So if you're in a 401k right now, I always tell people, if you've got a lump sum of money and we look at your time frame as to when you're going to need that money, we take that lump sum and we diversify it and allocate it based on your time horizon. But generally speaking, when it comes to investing money, I like to be more volatile on the monthlies, and then that way I take advantage of dollar cost averaging. The second proven fundamental that I see is discipline. What you do is you continue on regardless. In other words, you don't sit there and say, well, I think the market's good or the market's bad. Nobody knows how to do that. What you want to do is you want to continually keep this self-discipline and keep your mind on the most important thing, and that is improving your income. And when you improve your income, what that allows you to do, and the way you improve your income is always by becoming more valuable. You know, you need to be so valuable that that your boss or your company fears every day that you're going to go somewhere else. And if you get that valuable, guess what will happen? You'll see your income go up, your value proposition goes up, and you just start working on doing more investing. And then that allows you over time to take that $50 to $100 to $200 to $1,000 and so on. And the way we do that is we stick with a little plan. My budget plan has always been live on half of what you make, pay the taxes on about 25% of it, and then take the other 25% and invest it. So then the third fundamental is we diversify. The old saying is if you were out on the beach and you had a stand out there, you would sell umbrellas and sunglasses. And the reason you would do that is you never have bad days, completely bad days. You never had 100% good days, but you would never have a really bad day. And the idea is when it's raining, you're selling umbrellas, and when it's sunny, you're selling sunglasses, and that's the idea of diversification. So what we want to do is have things that tend to be opposite. One of the things that the first thing I do is when I meet with people is I find that they may have 401k spread out from previous jobs. And I see many times they've got four different 401ks or they got four different funds, yet they're invested in the same type of thing. So what is diversification? I'm going to get more into that. But, you know, the simple form of diversification is stocks, bonds, and cash, and maybe some insurance. That would be a diversified portfolio. And then when you go in, you say we've got small caps, mid caps, large cap stocks, and then we've got, you know, bonds. We've got short term, we've got long term bonds, we've got municipal bonds, we've got things like that. We've got money markets, we've got indexed annuities, we've got life insurance cash values, we've got all these different things, but it falls in that category of basic diversification, which is, you know, we're going to have some in the international market, we're going to have some in the U.S. market, and so on. So what I try to do is when I'm working with people, is I always say, look, let's just take a look at, are we sticking to the fundamentals, proven investment fundamentals that keep you on track no matter where you are? Now, are we going to have downturns? Yes, we're automatically going to have downturns in the market. I relate the stock market to a diet. You know, people get overweight, and what do? They get real serious about losing weight, and then about time they lose weight, what do? They ditch the diet and they get overweight again, and that's how the stock market works. So sometimes it's never fairly valued, hardly ever. And so the idea is sometimes it's a little too overpriced, and then sometimes it's great deals. The interesting thing about the market, though, is when there's a great deal on the market, the blue light special, people tend to, it's the only thing I've ever seen that you tend to see people not want to do. So what we're going to do today is proven investment fundamentals. I'm going to give you some great ideas and resources. I've got a new piece on my website called the My Best Retirement Workbook. It's 12 pages. You can download it. It really is detailed. You can also download the budget worksheet. We've got all types of things on the radio website. All right, RoyMatlockJr.com.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are talking money, and today we're, you know, kind of addressing some of the things that have been going on. You know, we've got tariffs, and we, you know, we've got people on one side saying, oh, it's going to destroy the economy. Then you got another group that are saying, oh, it's going to be the best thing ever happened. It's fair. You know, I mean, why should we be paying for, you know, other countries and it's going to kill the economy. It's going to grow the economy. The stock market's, going to crash, and it is not bad, when it's going to happen. Who knows? All right. What I do know is there are proven investment fundamentals that will help you get financially independent one day. If you're just tuning in, we talked about dollar cost averaging, discipline, diversification. And now we're going to continue on these proven investment fundamentals. And the next one's reduce your taxable income. So let's talk about reducing taxable income. When I think about reducing taxable income, immediately I think about, retirement plans. And when I look at risk and taxation, I kind of put it into buckets. And we're going to talk right now about a taxation bucket. And when we go out, there's three taxation buckets that you can involve yourself in. One of them is tax-free, one of them is tax-deferred, and the other one is taxable. Now, all things being equal, I like tax-free. Second, I like tax-deferred. Third, I like taxable. But there's reasons that we have all of this. So let's take a look at some of the differences. So the tax-free bucket, generally speaking, has one of two things happening with it, but generally speaking, you can count on tax-free has some front-end penalties. All right, what that means is that prior to 59 and a half, if you pull out of your Roth IRA, you got to pay taxes and penalty on it. If you put money in, you do have some qualified withdrawals in your Roth, but one of your tax-free buckets might be a Roth IRA or a backdoor Roth. You could do a Roth 401k. That's where you put money in after tax, and it grows tax-free. You've got cash value life insurance. That would be things like an indexed universal life where you can pull out or whole life, and you can pull out money out of those through loans, and they're tax-free. You got municipal bonds that are tax-free. That's kind of like paying your tax in advance. But those are tax-free buckets. So what we want to do is we want to say, well, what tax-free income do we have? I remember I had a friend of mine, very wealthy, and he had a bunch of real estate. And what he would always do when the rents went up, he would refinance and pull cash out. And that would give him tax-free income. All loans tend to be tax-free. And so that's a tax-free bucket that you might look at. We have tax-deferred buckets. That's where we take a tax deduction. And we do maybe like an IRA or a 401k, and we take it off our taxes today. We could do a SEP for a self-employed or a simple plan. We have annuities that grow tax-deferred, but they're not deductible. They're fixed, indexed, or variable annuities, and only the earnings are taxed. And so what we do then is we say, well, we have a portion of the front-end tax. And you say, well, should I do a Roth or should I do deductible account? My take is that we do a little bit of both. And how do we do that? Well, I take and for sure deduct my matching funds. I was with a client just this last week, and the company's with a match 4%, and he was making about $100,000. And so $100,000 times 4% is $4,000. So that $4,000 is deductible if you take it as a deduction. And then you take that deduction of $4,000, they are matching $4,000. So let's think about this. So now $4,000 equals $8,000. That's pretty cool, right? If you're in the 25% tax bracket, that $4,000, you get a $1,000 tax deduction or $1,000 in reduced tax, $4,000 deduction. So now 4 equals 9. That's a pretty good plan. So if you put in $4,000, you get 9. And he was completely vested right off the bat. So 4 equals 9. Pretty cool, right? And then we took that $1,000 deduction, the cash savings, along with some additional monies, and we set up a Roth. All right, so now they've got a deductible. He had a deductible retirement plan along with a that was tax deferred. We'll have to pay the taxes later. Then we have a Roth that grows tax-free. So there you go. If you're a business owner right now, you can do a SEP. And the cool thing about a SEP, if you're like an independent contractor, 1099 type, not a bunch of employees, you can do your SUP for 2024 all the way up until your tax filing date in October. So if you file extensions all the way out to 2025 October, you could actually fund the SUP all the way up to this for last year. You're running out of time on IRAs. You can fund your IRA up until April 15th for last year. Now, what's the benefit of that? Well, maybe you had a year last year and you did well, but you didn't have 25% to put into your SEP. So what you're able to do is earn some money this year and take the earnings that you made this year and throw it into the SEP from last year and get a tax deduction. I have seen many times where, you know, I tell my clients, you know, when you go to your CPA or whoever's doing your taxes, if you're a business owner, just tell them you want to know the difference in what a SEP would mean. And so they do that, or they can do what's called a solo 401k and do the same thing. But the point being is you can put a bunch of money in to and take it off your profit. So those are ideas. Annuities give you tax deferral. We use annuities for growth on money that we don't think we'll ever use or we don't need it for a long time. But all of the tax deferred accounts, just think of it this way, prior to 59 and a half are going to be penalized, okay, and taxed if you pull it out. The tax-free accounts, the Roths, are similar in that sense. Life insurance is the only thing that you can take out, really, that I know of it, as a loan, and it's not taxed. And so that would be an idea there. So we got tax deferred. And then lastly, we have taxable. Now, why would we have a taxable bucket? We have a taxable bucket because it provides liquidity. I call it opportunity money. So let's say that we have our retirement plans being fully funded, and we got some tax-free, we got some tax-deferred, maybe we've got enough cash that we need to throw it into an annuity so it'll continue to grow, maybe like a RILA or variable annuity that has, you know, market upside and things like that. And then what we do is we have our taxable bucket, and that's brokerage accounts, stocks, mutual funds, things like that, bank accounts. And the idea on that, some of that money is maybe in a money market. So therefore, if we have market downturns and we're going to be needing money, we would pull from that type of bucket. But the long and short of it is that it's taxed, but it's accessible. Pretty much if it is taxed, you can get to it. If it's tax deferred or tax free, there's going to be some restrictions. So we have three taxable buckets. But the idea is that let's pay attention. One of the fundamentals is pay attention to your taxable income. And a lot of times, so we don't even think about that. And the reason we don't think about it is that at the end of the year, you got 1099s coming in. I had a client of mine, one of my CPA referral partners, call me up. He says, I had a guy come in and he had $49,000 in bank interest, which tells me low interest, how much had to be $1.3 million, something like that, $1.4 million, $1.5 million, actually probably about $1.5 million sitting at low interest taxable income. Man, we want to not do that. And so what we want to do is let our earnings grow tax deferred. So let's go. Let's take a look at where we're at. Go to roymatlockjr.com. My best retirement workbook is there, along with the budget download sheet and many, many more things. We'll be right back. That's at roymatlockjr.com.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here, and today we're kind of going through some basic fundamentals of, you know, your life and investing, you know, and being calm and staying on track. And so far we've talked about dollar cost averaging, discipline, diversification, reducing your taxable income. I'm going to run a little number here to kind of give you an idea about what taxation means versus not being taxed. And I'll give you an example. Over a 30-year period, it averages about 1.3% if you're in a taxable fund versus, say, a tax-deferred fund. So if you were to get 8%, put $500 away, and you were to do that, and it was a variance of just 1%, okay? So let's say you put $500 a month in and taxes took 1%. Here's what we're talking about. In 30 years, at 9%, it's $824,000. At 8%, it's $684,000. Same investment, but it got taxed yearly, and you paid the taxes out of it. And then if you go from 8 to 7, it's a difference in $570,000 versus $684,000. And so 1% is a big deal. They say it's between 1.3 and 1.9%. Or another way to look at it, if you were getting a 9% taxable account, it goes from $824,000 down to about $600,000 because you didn't take advantage of the taxation. And so what we want to do is we want to always be thinking, you know, there's rules, all right? And the rules are, you know, tax-free, tax-deferred, that's better than taxable, all right? We're going to have a certain percentage of our money in taxable accounts. Why do we have taxable accounts? Because they are easily accessible without penalties. That's typically what you're dealing with, other than maybe a CD penalty, which is a minor deal there. So then once you get this in order, your dollar cost averaging. I love to work with people and I bring them up to speed. I say, well, let's take a look at your life financially. You started working at whatever age. Let's see where you're at. And we take a look at their home, what it's worth, and what they owe, and what do they have saved, what do they owe, what do they have in retirement plans. We do all this kind of stuff, and we come up with where they're at. Where's your income? Your income is your value proposition in the marketplace. Where are we at? All right, we got all that kind of stuff. And we look at it, and then we make some decisions on what we're going to do on everything up to in the past. What can we fix? You know, what are the different mistakes may have been made that we need to correct? Maybe there's some debt, whatever it may be, and we do that. And then we start looking, so, okay, now going forward, let's take a look at the numbers that we can put aside. You're making this, what's the number? Let's look at the number. And you come back to me and we talk and we say, well, we think we could put $1,200 a month away. All right, and then what we're going to do is we're going to take that $1,200 a month and we're going to break it down and we're going to put it into things that some will be tax deductible, some may be tax free, some may be taxable, some may be lower risk, some may be higher risk, some may be in between. We may have some insurance, got all this different stuff. But the long and short of it is then we automate it. And here's what I tell people: I want to make your life easy. How do I make your life easy? Just put the money in your account, keep working, work on the things you can control, which is your income. Work on your income, get yourself in a position to make more money, and then once a year we will sit down, or ever so often, and we will bump it up, add something, reallocate it, get it going over time. So contribute what you can, and then increase it over time. And I always tell people, if you got $200 or $300 a month, I even have a form on our website, you know, we will help you get started. I love working with young people. I had an appointment just a few days ago, and the guy was 28 years old. Him and his wife are making, you know, a lot of money, and, you know, starting out young. and getting financial advice. And, I mean, it was a great appointment. And the key to that is that we just get it automated. And, hey, you just go have fun, spend everything you make other than what we're drafting, stay out of debt. And one day you wake up and things are good. And so contribute what you can, increase it over time. If you'd like to get started with something small, just go to the website. We've got so many things that we do. Let me give you some examples of things that you can get. I had said earlier that My Best Retirement Workbook, it's fill in the blanks, 12 pages. You can download it. You can download a budget sheet. If you don't have life insurance up to the speed, you should have. We have instantly issued term life insurance in less than 15 minutes. And if you're under 60, all the way up to $2 million in coverage, has living benefits, and a will and trust is included. You can open an investment account. You can click there for $50 a month. You can even do a 30-minute phone call, free call, just to get advice and see if we're a fit. We have referral partners that actually come to work with us, learn to be a financial advisor, and get referral fees while you're learning. And we have a podcast. We even have the A to Z of personal finance on the website. So if you get on my website, RoyMatlockJr.com, you're going to find something of benefit, and you will learn. And the more you know, the better off you are. And so then what we're going to do is we're going to increase it over time. We're going to choose investments that align with your goals and your time horizon. So now we're moving along. These are investment fundamentals. And then we're going to make a plan, and we're going to stick with it. That's what's going to happen. You know, if you want to work out, you know, one of the most important things in working out, I've always believed this, is win. All right? And most of everything in winning in life and anything you do is showing up. All right? And most people just don't ever show up. They think it's got to be perfect. Well, the most important thing in a plan of financial independence is just getting it started and sticking with it. Just say, I'm going to grind away, and so on. So then we want to go out and we want to do some things to reduce risk. And so what I'm going to do kind of the rest of this segment is talk about reducing risk and going toward having peace of mind. What's the number one mistake people make is they never have a strategy, lack of strategy, no plan. But the real thing right now when we see markets moving is overexposure. And so many times I see people that are at or near retirement and, you know, they've got 100% of their money in the S&P 500 because they heard the S&P 500, you know, is going to get 10% over time, and it will. But it has ups and it has downs and things like that. And so they're a little bit too exposed. And so that might be an example. Or they are on the exact opposite side. They're safe. They got all their money sitting in the bank, like the example I gave earlier, and they're getting 3% and inflation is eating up everything that they have. Or they're making the mistake of taxation. You know, everything is taxed. And so they're paying taxes on money they're not using. One of the rules of thumb that I tell people is never pay taxes on money you're not using. Because if you're paying taxes on money you're not using, you're in essence, what you're doing is you're having to go to work every day in order to pay the taxes on the money that you're not even using. That didn't make a lot of sense to me. So we try to always defer as much as possible. We're always going to keep some of it out there. The other part is longevity. Do you have a plan to not outlive your money? You know, I always brag about my mother. She will be 102 years old in August. And good news is that she didn't run out of money. All right. They retired at 60. And fortunately, they had the best financial advisor. They had me. How about that? And so as a result, she hasn't had anything to worry about other than living. All right. And she's done a pretty good job at that. When you're getting ready to be 102. And then lastly, we're going to tune out the noise. So stop worrying about what's going on the internet or on the news. Tune out the noise. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Stick with us. We're going to be right back and continue talking money. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, final segment today, and we are talking money. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. I own a financial advisory firm here in Nashville, and we do business all over the country helping people with their money. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com, and I would encourage you to go and get our retirement download. It's, it's a really good piece called My Best Retirement Workbook, 12 pages. You download it, you fill in the blank, ask you a lot of questions. If you're nearing retirement, it would be a good one. And I wanted to talk a little bit about markets and, I've never tried to time the market. I've had a couple little things that I've done over my career. You know, if the market's at an all-time high and someone brings cash to the table, I'm going to probably bring them in over a period of time, dollar cost to average them. And then if somebody's at or near retirement, I tend to back them off a little bit and, to the point that we have different buckets of money, on a risk chart, everything from stocks, bonds, have some cash, have some insurance, things like that to kind of keep them, diversified and things like that. That way we're happy about something and we have a place to pull from with the idea that you never want to pull on things that are down. We're the whole mindset of retirement planning is to be in a position to where you don't want to sell at the bottom. You always want to be selling on the up. And so if you withdraw money from different buckets, so you're going to be happy about something. And so that's the idea there. But let me give you some numbers. And this goes back to 1952 when it comes to the S&P 500. And so if you have your 401k right now and you are in the accumulation stage, I don't usually do anything to remove people from markets. I don't try to time or anything like that. Sometimes, if you have a pretty good amount of money in there, we can back it down at the market high and dollar cost average it back in or something like that. But here's the numbers. 5% or more decline will happen on average about three times a year since 1952. So if you think about that, it typically takes about 43 days for it to recover. So panicking out of the market, 5% down, 43 days to recover, and it happens three times a year. If you see a 10%, and that's typical 10% happens once a year, takes about 110 days for it to recover. So nothing terrible, all right? 15% or more is every 3 years, 251 days to recover. And 20% or more once every 6 years, 370 days to recover. Now, how does that affect you if you're buying? If you're buying in monthly, if you're dollar cost averaging and you got a time horizon out in the future, you're really benefiting because you're getting a chance to purchase at a discount. Now, if you're on the other side of the spectrum and you are retiring, okay, then that is not a good thing. And it's called sequence of return risk. And what that means is sequence of return risk has to do with when are you drawing. So, for instance, if you were retiring and you took the you retired at the point we had the technology crash, dot-com bubble in 2000, and then in 2008 we had the housing market, here's what you're looking at. You saw downturns. It took almost 8 years for the S&P to recover after the dot-com bubble. So if you were out there buying, you're like buying at a discount and it recovered. And about time it recovered in 2008, it took about six more years to reach the all-time high again. And so when you're entering retirement, market downturns have a much more significant impact because you're having to sell more in order to be able to pull money out. And so one of the things I always tell people is that in many cases, zero is your hero when it comes to retiring. And if you're pulling money out, you want to be in a position to where, if you do have, you are getting ready to retire, there's nothing wrong with having some money that has some guarantees to it. And so how do we go about doing things? I'm going to break it down into some diversification and kind of give you the idea behind it. And if you're young, you're going to be diversified, but it's still going to be much more aggressive typically if you have a longer time horizon. As you go to middle age, you go the other way and a little bit less, but still pretty. But when you get in about 10 years to retirement, you're going to back it off. And so we diversify across money market funds. We have bond funds. We have stock funds. And then we have insurance. So what is a money market fund? Think of a money market fund as liquid cash. If you do a true money market, money markets are at a dollar a share. And you're getting a liquid return on an account that is getting, you know, 3, 4, 5%, depending on when we do it. And that money is liquid. Use it for emergency funds. You may use it as a firepower to buy into some declining markets if you have some money on the sidelines. And, you know, when the markets are at an all-time high, sometimes that's not a bad idea. We have that but mostly liquid cash, and generally it'll be taxable. I never have people much in tax-deferred accounts that are having short-term funds. Bond funds, there's a thing called being a loaner or an owner. And when you purchase bonds are a loan. So companies borrow money. And case in point is you go to the bank and you loan the money to the bank and you loan it to them, give it to them as a savings account or a CD. So they borrow your money. They pay you X, maybe 3%, 4% if it's a CD or something like that. They in turn loan it back out, and they make a spread. So they will borrow it at 3 or 4%, loan it on a car at 13 or a credit card at 20 or something like that, and they make the spread. All right, it's more conservative because the bank is making profits, and as a result, they are borrowing money from you, and they put some guarantees in it on a CD, or if you buy a bond, it's much more conservative, and you get an interest rate. And so that's what a bond is. Now, the question is, would you be better off loaning the money to the bank or loaning it to a company or owning the company? And you say, well, what if I could borrow money at 3 or 4% and loan it at 18 or 20%? Well, if I could do that, that would be pretty good. I would rather own the bank. And so we want to have a portion of our money in the ownership position. How do we own the bank? We have stock in it, or maybe it's like you go to Las Vegas and, you know, it's the only place I know that they're gamblers. And then think about this. Think about the mindset of a Las Vegas trip, and they're gambling. So they go out there and they put a stop loss on what they're going to lose. They go out and they say, well, you know, I think I'm only going to lose $500 or $1,000. And you say, well, that's a pretty weird way of looking at it. But the bottom line is I'm going to limit my losses. I'm going out there with the intention of losing. Would you rather be the casino or the house, or would you rather be the gambler? I'd rather be the casino. So then we would buy stock in the casino. And you say, but hold on a second. I don't know which casino to buy or which bank to buy or which other company. That's where professional money managers come into play. And what they do is they do the research and they get access to it. Some of the things that maybe you don't have access to. And then they meet with the board and they meet with the CEO and they meet with employees and they meet with the research and development of these big companies. And then what they do then is they take and they put a piece of your money in. And even the biggest fund managers generally don't have themselves that weighted, you know, 5%, because they still make mistakes. And so that's where diversification comes in. So then we have stocks, bonds, in money markets, all right? That's in the realm of diversification. And then we have insurance. Insurance, typically when you buy insurance, I call it a defensive position. What is an example of insurance? You buy annuities. An annuity has some guarantees to it. Some have principal guarantees. Some have lifetime income guarantees. We use those lifetime income guarantees with the mindset that you would, if you live forever, and you were to run out of money, a life insurance annuity provides lifetime income guarantee, so you never run out of money, so you always have an income. We use annuities for tax deferral. They're the only pretty much way you can put money aside and tax defer it. Okay. And so we have that. We have life insurance policies that have tax-free growth, and they have some principal guarantees, and they have some withdrawals that you can do, and you keep it, and it pays a death benefit. So anytime you buy insurance, always remember when it comes to your investments, you're paying a premium, which the premium is typically lesser return than, say, in the market, but with the intention that you're buying some peace of mind. And it's very similar to if you buy homeowner's insurance on your house. You know, they require it when you have a mortgage, but once you're retired and maybe you paid your house off, you're not required to buy that insurance anymore. Yet people do it every year, even though chances are your house is not going to burn down. You think about all your friends and family members. You say, well, how many of them do I know that had a house fire? And you can't hardly, you know, as many people as I do business with, I can name just a couple that have had their house burn. And that's as many people as, I mean, I do business with a lot of people. And so realistically, but we continue to buy it. We continue to buy health insurance because we're just in case. And so that's what the areas of a diversification are. We have stocks, bonds, money markets, and then we have insurance. And so then we put together portfolios to allow people to go out and put products in place to reach their goals. So let me give you some examples. Defensively, we buy life insurance, term insurance, which is kind of a temporary big death benefit, and we buy permanent that we can keep for our entire life. We buy health and disability insurance. We have living benefits on life insurance. We have fixed and indexed annuities, and we do estate planning. I'd also put in the defense category a HELOC on your mortgage. On the offense, we do investments in stock funds and bond funds, and we have managed accounts and annuities that have growth to them. And we do things like that with the idea that we're letting it rip. Long term, we're going to do fine. And so the mindset is that you start out, you start with advice and education. You're listening today. From there, if you would like an initial review, we look at where you're at and where you could make changes. We create a defense and an offense. We go to a product marketplace, match you up, and then do reviews and updates. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com and download all of our many resources. I'll talk to you next week.